This is a Kitty Pod production.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this special edition of the Keep It To Yourself podcast, the most above average podcast ever to hit your ear holes. My name, of course, and as always, is Jason Bullitt. And you don't hear the usual razzmatazz that accompanies a normal Kitty Pod, and that's because this is a mini-sode. A kitty mini, if you will. Little special treat to your Easter basket, or addition thereof. Well, I figured I'm going to leave a little something for you for this holiday weekend, Easter, Passover, you know, all that stuff. So whatever it is you celebrate, I hope it's a happy, safe, and joyous weekend among friends, family, kith, kin, etc. So with that, I'm going to answer the Friday 5 question. This is something I cooked up myself. Is the April 7th spot up? It's Good Friday, Easter, Passover, and of course, the Masters Golf Tournament down in Augusta, Georgia. So I had a bit of a Masters Easter theme to it and the spring season. So I decided, well, this is where I theme my questions. Now, if you follow me on the TK Little's Smart and Funny Facebook page, every little gets a turn at bat. Littles are fans of the Tony Kornheiser Show, and they ask 5 questions. They can be themed or just random, usually the former than the latter. And it's fun stuff. I get to know the Littles as actual human beings, really pick their brains. This is my 3rd time doing this. I did one for my 40th birthday last December, and I did one in the summer of 2021. So without any further let, hindrance, delay, ado, etc., let's get to the questions here. Question number 1. Earlier this week, defending Masters champion Scott Scheffler held the traditional champions dinner and treated past Green Jacket winners to the following 4-course meal. For appetizers, or hors d'oeuvres, cheeseburger sliders and firecracker shrimp, tortilla soup for the 2nd course, for the mains, either Texas ribeye steak or black and red fish, and for dessert, here's the pièce de résistance in my book, warm chocolate chip cookie skillet with a scoop of milk and cookies ice cream. Oh man, I'm getting hungry already. If you had the opportunity to throw a similar soiree for your fellow Littles, what would be on your menu? Parentheses, I added list appetizers, main course, and dessert. Soup is optional. Bonus points for anything off the old chatter menu, including Wilbon's chili. Well, thanks to Steve Lipton for putting these in the comments for easier access. And I answered the question. It was a little difficult for me, but I decided for appetizers, I would do boneless chicken wings with your choice of sauce, you know, barbecue, you know, Frank's Hot Red Hot, not a sponsor, you know, wing, you know, mild, you know, honey, garlic, something like that. Your choice, whatever you want, with either ranch or blue cheese for dipping. Now, for the vegetarian vegan set, we'd have seitan wings. Shout out Junior's Bar and Grill. Outside of Troy and Frank Sicari as well, fellow Little. For the mains, I would offer your choice of New York strip steak or grilled tilapia. That's for the non-meat eating crowd. As for dessert, I'd have Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Actually, I should change. That should be Stewart's ice cream. And preceding the dinner, open bar featuring craft beers from upstate New York and New England. So there you go. That would sure make for a memorable dinner. I'm going for, I put Ben and Jerry's. I had Vermont on the brain when I had this taken care of. So I'm just going to go Stewart's ice cream. There you go. Shout out Chuck and Roxy. Okay, as of recording, there's going to be some more responses. However, I'm going to go through some of the previous replies, see what the Littles said. Steve Lipton, who helped out with the comments, said, I guess I'd go with the all Seinfeld dinner. Soup, or no soup, depending on how you order.
No soup for you.
The big salad from Monk's, a muffin top. For dessert, we get wine and ice cream eaten over the sink. Of course, all the champions are wearing orange jackets. And I replied, or maybe meatloaf on a bed of lettuce a la Festivus. Eric Londrigan, I like this. Peanut butter sandwiches, crunchy or smooth option. Half a chicken parm in a doggy bag. Ice cream served in a dish shaped like a kitchen sink. Oh, man. Whew. Well, some of these went for comedy. Others went, well, the other way. Bobby Gottfried, for example. For appetizers, bacon wrapped scallops or spring rolls for the vegetarian crowd. The mains, moule frites with beer and pork belly. I don't know what that is, but eggplant parm for the vegetarians. Creme brulee for dessert. 3-course meal for Bobby Gottfried. I like this one here. Betsy Oilman Jaffe said, shrimp cocktail among the apps. Steak loaded baked potato asparagus. And make your own sundaes for dessert. All right, that's good. Anthony Beeson, going for the comedy. Appetizer, assorted Tillamook cheese bites. Entree, Burger King cheeseburger and fries. Oh, that's a low rent. Dessert, assorted Tillamook ice creams. There you go. Jennifer Korpik went a little serious with this one. For appetizer, Skyline chili dip. Layer of cream cheese, then chili, then cheddar cheese, served warm with tortilla chips. Better than actual Skyline chili itself in my book. For the mains, a fillet of beef or salmon with mashed potatoes and grilled asparagus. Dessert, Derby pie, which is a pecan pie made with walnuts instead and chocolate added with Grater's vanilla ice cream. She must be from Cincinnati. I wonder if she's had any run-ins with Anthony Beeson. Oh, Cincinnati. All right, so there you go. Maybe. Scott Moffitt, app variety of oysters, raw, steamed, Rockefeller. Crab cakes with grilled asparagus entrees, creme brulee for dessert. Did you peek off Bobby Gottfried there, Scott?
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
How's about this? Jeff Kenton, wrapping up this question. Meat tray with crackers appetizer. What, nothing for the vegetarians? Almost a charcuterie board. Then roasted turkey and stuffing for the main course. For dessert, chocolate bourbon pecan pie. Ooh, man, I ought to be attending that one. I'm in with a shout. I don't know about the meat tray. I'd probably just do like a buffet thing, come to think of it, with mine. But if it was like the master's dinner, I'd go with that format. Otherwise, I'd just do a buffet. There you go. Here's what's on offer. Come and get it. All right, number two. My question says, we've already gone through the first week of the 2023 Major League Baseball season. What's your most memorable first day of school, work, etc.? Well, I put down first day of fifth grade. The lights went out during our lunch break and stayed off for the rest of the day. Given who my teacher was, quite the harbinger of what was to come. That's what I put down as my answer. Greg Small said, on my way to work on the first day of my current job, December 1979. Oil truck pulled out in front of me on an icy road and I slid into its side. Thankfully, I hit it where the hoses are stored and bounced off. Still almost totaled my car. Yikes. Eric Londrigan again said, does the first day I had sex count? Very memorable. Ask me about the ants if we ever meet offline. And to which Steve replied, it counts. The real question is, was it memorable for your partner? How's about this? Sean Patrick, July 2012, just got a job at a place I'd always wanted to work. Passed by the building many times on the highway and train. Had taken a tour inside once or twice, but knowing I now had an ID to come and go at will after all those years, amazing. Unfortunately, my boss there was a massive tool bag, but let's focus on the positive. Dina Damascus, Dina Jagodich. First day teaching, almost got fired. Night class, 3 students complained to my chair by 9 a.m. the next morning. How my chair handled it was the difference between me failing and me being amazing at my job. Betsy Oilman Jaffe, first day working at the Senate, age 19. Scared of accidentally getting on the Senator's only elevator, so I took the stairs to the 6th floor in heels. Here's Scott Moffitt. Since it's Masters Week, first trip to the Masters was in 1995. The grass is greener than on TV. It's hillier than on TV. The pimento cheese is top-notch. Also got an autograph from a golfer appearing in his first Masters, who was the current U.S. amateur champion, Eldrick Tiger Woods. You heard of him? All right, number three. Along with the aforementioned baseball, the end of the NCAA basketball tournaments, and the beginning of the playoffs in both the NBA and the NHL are sure signs of spring, at least in a sporting context. What's your favorite sign of spring? And I wrote down, hearing birds chirping while lying in bed first thing in the morning, especially on weekends. Gol dang, did that feel good. Oh, Steve Lipton said, the Masters is the line of demarcation for me. I'm not much of a golfer, but I love this event. Me too, bud. Boston Marathon for Eric Lonergan. Let's get some new folks in here. Sandra Road, first day above 60, and the Masters. Dogwood Trees from Anthony Beeson, and even posted a picture for those of you watching on News Channel 8. Scott Moffitt, favorite side, the Masters. Least favorite, buying the first box of Claritin. I just came back from a pharmacy. I used my health spending account to purchase a new bottle of Claritin because I was thinking the one I have upstairs is probably expired. Jeff Flowers, people up north wearing sweatshirts / coats with shorts and boots. Upstate New York be like that, fella. All right, question number 4. NFL players have recently been allowed to wear the number 0. Who do you reckon is the greatest to wear the goose egg? We'll also accept double zeros. Jim Otto. I had that in mind when I asked. I said Eric Montross when he was with North Carolina. Won a national title with them. Thank you, Chris Webber, for not knowing how many timeouts your team had. Eric Lonergan, a picture of the Chief, Robert Parrish. Of course, Jim Otto got a lot of run. Greg Smallwood, Steve Lipton. Jason Tatum says Sean Patrick. Number 0, single 0 with the Celtics. All right, number 5, last regular question. As we're aware, the third in a series, films most notably, is usually the worst of the lot. What's your nominee for the worst end of a trilogy / series ever? Cinema-related answers are encouraged, but sports answers will count too. Well, Godfather Part 3 comes to mind, and I put that down. I laughed at Dave Putty. I'm going to see that. My answer here says, so I was unaware that there were movies with the cast of Baywatch. I haven't seen any of them, but I will go on a limb and say they probably start bad and get progressively worse. Hence, my vote is for Baywatch Hawaiian Wedding, sight unseen. Oh, boy. Sam Angel. Well, first of all, Toy Story 3 is just amazing. I've seen it 6 to 8 times now, 5 to 7 of those in the last 2 months with my daughter. And it is physically impossible for me not to tear up when they're at the dump. I've only seen Toy Story once, but I have to agree with you. It spoiled part of the movie for me, too. Anyway, I don't have a great answer for this, Sam continues. But I will say I've always felt Godfather 3 was a very good movie that gets ragged on because it's not as good as the first two. But the first two are 2 of the 5 best movies of all time. Everybody will agree with you. No arguments. Greg Smallwood said, the Beverly Hillbillies begat Petticoat Junction, which begat Green Acres. And Ava Gabor in a leaky farmhouse was simply stupid. Arriva! I'll tell you what, man. Late last year, I was just futzing around YouTube, and I saw Green Acres and, you know Eddie Arnold, that's Oliver. He's up there in the on top of the utility pole. He got the plug in there. And Paul said, well, there was this blackout in November of 1965 that darkened much of the northeastern United States. We don't know what happened, but this may have been the problem. Sparks started flying and only like zap, wham, something like that. I laughed so hard because it reminded me of Batman 66, the TV series, when Batman and Robin would get in a fight with the villains and like pow, bang, wham, socko. Something like that, you know? That was hilarious. Anything with electricity. Oh, gee whiz, that was funny. Back to the Future 3, says Jennifer Korpik. Anthony Beeson with a sad one. I was a sophomore in college during the 1984 baseball season. Got to watch the Chicago Cubs all year long thanks to WGN. Fell in love with the Cubbies and was thrilled to see them go up 2-0 in the National League Championship Series. Only to watch them lose game 3, 4, and 5. Heartbreaking. Jeff Flowers. Beverly Hills Cop 3. Yes, it's a thing and they're doing a 4th. Facepalm emoji. Was absolutely horrific and you're embarrassed for all involved making it. Beverly Hills Cop 2 wasn't that great either, but it was passable. Another 48 Hours and Coming to America were bad as well. Eddie Murphy should not do sequels. I'm going to lose my mind if they decide to do the remake of Trading Places. Oh, Coming to America, the one on Amazon Prime. I talked about that 2 years ago when it came out. I thought it was all right. I liked the original a lot better. They did have that little tribute to, you know, Duke and from Trading Places. Shout out Adam Parada. Steve Lipton responded, I forgot about Beverly Hills Cop 3. Terrible.
That's terrible.
And I did a little bonus question. Easter egg. See what I did there? Favorite Easter Passover candy? Jelly beans seem to be the popular one here. Cadbury cream eggs from Dina Yagodich. There, Eric Lonergan said, hot take, hollow chocolate bunnies are better than solid ones. To which Dina replied, agreed, but only at Easter. Steve Lipton said, well, I'm a sucker for jelly beans. I would probably rather have this in my Easter basket. And he posted a picture of a big jar of those little mini Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh, man. I liked having those jelly bells. I was on a real jag back in the day with those things. I love getting those in the Easter basket, especially the variety packs. Oh, man. Jelly Belly's getting some run. Cadbury cream eggs. Dina Yagodich. Bobby Gottfried. Dairy Milk Easter Bunny said Michael Wynn. He's from New Zealand. Cadbury. Finest. Dave Putt. Bloody Mary. Wait, what was the question? Cadbury mini eggs from Kate Milan. I'll be in her neck of the woods this weekend celebrating Easter. Jelly beans from Jeff Flowers and Jeff Kenton. I put down from the record, Peeps. Don't at me. And there you have it, folks. That's the Friday Five for this Easter, Passover, Masters weekend, whatever it is you're doing and however you celebrate. I hope that it's a fun time for you, a safe one, and a joyous time among family and friends. You know, this is the first time I can recall both Easter, Ramadan, and Passover happening at the same time. So in that spirit, I wish you a happy Easter, blessed Passover, a solemn and respectful Ramadan, a tip-top Tet, etc., etc. And I thank you for listening. I'll recap what I did the Easter weekend when I put the next episode out. So thanks for listening. Happy holiday to one and all. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Hey, Clavin, wake up. The show's over. Oh, yeah. Check it.
The Keep It To Yourself podcast has been a Those Aren't Chocolate Eggs production.
We're going to do Stonehenge tomorrow.
No, we're not gonna fucking do Stonehenge!